Welcome, everyone, to Juno Afternoon. It's September 15th. I'm Andy Klein, your host for today. And coming up, well, it's a full show. Full show today. We got drag kings, musicians, sports, books, everything. We're going to hear about glitz from a few of the outrageous performers. And then the Gojanes are playing tonight, and they're going to play us a tune here as well. Hearthside Books has a book signing and a birthday to tell us about. And we'll also hear about a disc golf tournament coming up. And we're going to be finishing with a finish, as in Finnish music, that is. We'll be hearing from Viz Vignette from Finland, whose lead singer happens to be in Juno this week. That's all ahead, and I hope you'll stay with us. And looking up in the forecast, well, it's looking like rain is likely this weekend and the upcoming week. Typical Juno fall weather ahead, with highs in the upper 50s and lows in the upper 40s.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akhwan. The Clean AD have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hansen Grass, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, where Kashuk are ye tin. Jin Katka Kay Jin Talk, Anakaya Haani Kak, Gunish Cheesh.
Yay, yay. Yeah.
Feels like I might hear this song on Glitz stage at some point. I mean, this seems like an appropriate Glitz song. Am I right?
I think that'd be a pretty good one.
We've got a couple of Glitz kings here with us right now. Hedy Laverne and Kate Ross, otherwise known as Dear Evan Handsome and Ryder Strong. I love that one. That's a good one. How are you?
Great.
Good to see both of you.
Thanks for having us on, Andy.
And you're both gearing up for this, for Glitz. You guys are going to have to get in there soon, right?
Yeah, we're not in makeup yet, and that's
it's startling,
nerve-wracking.
Well, first of all, let's just talk about a little bit. Glitz coming up. It's become an annual event. It's become this huge annual event, two-day extravaganza. This is the first night of it. There's still a few tickets left. You were just looking live online just a minute ago.
Yeah, there are some tickets left, but move quick. Right now, all the VIP and all the table seats are sold out. We do have reserved row seating available still. So for tonight, that is those tickets will be available at the door. For tomorrow, they're still open presale online, but once it's tomorrow, they'll be at the door only. So get on it.
So you got to get on it. Okay, right. And so what can people expect? Let's imagine there's someone out there who hasn't seen Glitz. It's hard to imagine, but what can people expect? I mean, I think the thing that I've seen grow is the Kings section. Seems like that has really been growing.
Yeah, this is actually a King heavy show this year. There's 9 Kings in the show, and it's kind of amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's very cool. We have a really, really strong King community here. And we've put together a little something special. A few of us have. We've got a boy band this year that we usually do different iterations, different names. This year we are Broback Mountain. So that's going to be lots of fun. This is the first year we're using all 3 ballrooms. So we've got the beautiful newly renovated space in Centennial. Right. So big stage, big room, big lights and costumes and fancy things all over the place.
It's like the VMAs for drag.
Yeah,
so cool. And as you were sort of saying, this the royalty. It's the King and Queen royalty of the Juno drag kind of community. Plus, we've got some outside performers coming in. So tell me about those folks.
Yeah, we have 2 special guests. One who has made an incredible career on RuPaul's Drag Race and just Pandora Box. And then there is another queen that actually has a really cool relationship with Gigi Monroe. She is her auntie from her early drag days, LaWanda Jackson. So technically she's our great auntie. And we met her last night and she is just incredible. We're very excited she's here.
That's really cool.
Yeah, wow. Super sweet drag legend. And she does Tina Turner.
She sings live as well, which is always exciting.
Well, that is an exciting extra element there as well, and probably an extra sort of technical element to have to worry about a little bit, right? You're worrying about actual live, you know, microphone, all that stuff.
Well, thankfully we've got Betsy Sims, so you know, nothing to worry about.
She's the absolute best. Well, I know you guys actually kind of maybe even have to run a little bit. You got to get going. We want to mention it's all a fundraiser though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a fundraiser for CEGLA. And so the money that is raised here goes towards scholarships for queer youth, towards pride events in the summer and other events throughout the entire year, and really just supporting our queer community, not just in Juneau, but in Southeast Alaska. And so it's a fundraiser. It's for a good cause. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's always fun. It's ridiculous. How can you go to that and not have fun?
Absolutely.
Right. Guaranteed fun time. Well, okay, it's Glitz. It's happening this weekend. First show is tonight, Friday, and the next show is tomorrow. And the entertainment starts and cocktails and pre-cocktail entertainment starts around 6, and then the show starts at 7:30, right?
Yep.
So
lots
of fun stuff to do for that hour and a half before the show starts. It's a good pregame at the venue. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's the first time we're doing it that way.
Yeah, we've got a full bar. We have some amazing live entertainment. We have some pole dancers.
We have clowns.
Yeah, clowns. Jugglers. All sorts of fun stuff.
But you guys, you're not even showing any 5 o'clock shadow. Nothing yet.
Not yet.
You guys gotta
we put that on instead of shaving it off. It's a little bit backwards.
It's very interesting. All right. Well, Kate and Hetty, thanks so much for coming in, letting us know about Glitz. It's happening, and you'll see these two performers up on stage as Glitz Kings and throw out some extra fun, cool stuff. What happens on stage? People throw out money? People throw out
hopefully.
Glitter? People throw out lots of glitter involved.
You know,
it usually is glitter.
Glitter, yeah. Money. We accept both of those in terms of tips.
That's right.
And it's going to be a lot of fun.
For the exclusive Broback Mountain coming
Absolutely.
Up. It's going to be amazing. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Andy.
And have a great show. Well, Glitz is going to be a great time. Another great time is happening, and it's happening right now in the studio right in front of us here in just a second. The Go Janes are here, and they are going to be playing a concert. We're going to be talking all about that. They're playing a concert tonight, but they're standing at our beautiful mic. Let's get them to just go ahead and perform. Here are, without further ado, the Go Janes.
I don't know how fishes float, but fishes float they do. And I don't know how the birdies sing, but birdies sing they do. And I don't know how the rooster crows, but crowster crows. And I don't know why flowers grow, but grow flowers grow. 'Cause don't know why honey's sweet, but honey's sweet, it's true. And I don't know how lovers meet, but lovers meet, they do. And I don't know what makes us go, but go, we always go.
Go, go, go.
And I don't know what, go, I don't know, go, I know that I don't know. Well, yellow, red, or brown, or blue, no matter what they are, every time I think of you, I thank my lucky stars. 'Cause love is, love is, love is.
Right. Thank you so much. You're the welcome. Gojanes.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And you guys, you can just hang out there at that microphone if you want. Just all standing there. It's great to see you. And this is, of course, it's hard to describe to the radio audience, but so fun to see a trio all with ukuleles, guitars, playing around one common microphone. It's just such a cool kind of folk, you know, bluegrass folk kind of look. It's awesome. So thanks so much for you to come for coming in. It's Patrice, Kathleen, and Arnie. Are the Gojanes, and thanks so much for you coming in. And tell me a little bit about your kind of the inspiration behind your music. It's really fun to hear the two ukuleles, which almost have like a little bit of a harp or harpsichord quality to them.
Yeah, you know, it's just a great sonic palette that just happened with this situation with the ukes and the guitar, and you know, it kind of just resonates nicely with our voices and the harmonies we like to do. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of write our songs with this instrumentation in mind. So all of our stuff's original. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with this.
That's what drew you to Alaska.
Jack.
Uh-huh. Is that right? And yeah, playing here. Yeah.
So Jack Stickle, here's the story.
Okay.
So I happen to run a festival down in the Seattle area called Wintergrass. And every year we have a little silent auction, and we were an auction item. The Gojanes were an auction item. We just said, last year, no problem. We'll do a house concert somewhere. And then we got informed like, oh, yeah, this guy named Jack bought you. And it's like, really? Okay. Yeah, he's in Alaska. What?
What? Wait a minute. Well, that's really cool. So you guys are you all Seattle-based?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And is that a pretty vibrant scene as far as getting gigs and things like that? Or is it hard? Or tell me about
it's
the kind of scene
everywhere.
Down there.
Yeah. It's yeah. hard everywhere. But, you know, we improvise. We like to say lately, we just go where you want us to go. And so recently we had a nice rehearsal in the woods on a trail, which was great because we had these wonderful encounters with people two at a time. And like, that's how you grew a fan base, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Very old school.
Yeah, two hikers
media.
At a time. Yeah, right.
But well, we do play in clubs in Seattle as well. So, yeah. You know, coming out of the pandemic, of course, every artist is sort of kind of rebuilding and the audience is sort of rebuilding. So, you know, we just keep on keeping on with what we do.
Have you been playing as a trio for a lot of years, or tell me about the kind of history of the group as we see it here?
I think we started
like 5 years ago.
We started before the pandemic, mm-hmm. but we were just kind of getting like enough material together the where we could actually go out and perform, and then the pandemic happened.
Yeah. And where do you draw your material from? Is it from other famous kind of folk trios, or is it just wherever, or do you write some stuff? Or,
well, we write all of it.
Okay.
But Patrice came up with the phrase that we write lyrics from the long view of life.
Nice.
You know, we've all lived a life, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're coming from in our songs. Yeah.
That's
cool. And
we've
all been in music for like 40 years.
Yeah.
Performing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
in different groups.
So it's not
solo.
Our first rodeo.
Have you, are any of you or have all of you worked solely as musicians, as working musicians, and that's been your primary income?
Yeah.
Wow.
For for quite a while.
Wow.
I mean, of course, as musicians, we do many things.
Sure.
We teach, we perform. You know, I get hired out to be like the music director for this or that.
Right.
You know, so you cobble it together.
Still, it's amazing to be able to build a career out of music. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment just on its own.
Well,
that you're able
to
do that.
But, you know, when you're a musician, it's like, you know, it's like you're a salmon swimming upstream to a home you got to get to. And that's the way it is when you're a musician. It's not like you can't choose not to be a salmon, you know?
Right.
So I'm just saying, you know, we're salmon.
You're just doing what you got
to
do.
Do you guys have time
to play one more?
Sure.
I'd love to hear one more if you have it prepared. And then we'll make sure we talk about the concert that's happening as well.
This is a song called Horse. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And the light is fleeing to the hills. If the terror doesn't get you first, then the heartache surely will. The rain weeping down, the wind a moaning sound, projectile fur cones in the air, longing for that simple road, a light to lead you home, the touch of ground. The storm is strong, said the boy. Our love is stronger, said the horse. Hold my strong back, and I will carry you through this wild and wicked world. Ooh, 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 ride. You carry me, I'll carry you. The storm is strong, said the boy. Our love is stronger, said the horse. Hold my strong back, and I will carry you through this wild and wicked world. The storm is strong, said the boy. Our love is stronger, said the horse. Hold my strong back, and I will carry you through this wild and wicked world.
Thank you so much. The Go Janes. Beautiful, all original music. And they're going to be playing a benefit concert tonight at the Aldersgate United Methodist Church at over on Cinema Drive there in the Valley. And that's going to be happening at 6:30 p.m. And there'll be intermission between sets. The Go Janes are such a great trio to have in towns. Thank you so much for coming in and playing that great music. And so fun to hear just new original music happening. It's really great. Benefit concert's $25. And that's a suggested donation for the benefit. And you can see more from the Go Janes tonight over at the Aldersgate United Methodist Church. Have you been out there yet?
Yes.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah,
it's a
gorgeous,
it's a great performance space. It'll be really nice. Yeah.
And a wonderful community of people.
Yeah. Well, we like to think so. Yeah. It's all right. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much to all of you for coming
us.
In.
We're
absolutely.
Here,
it was great to hear from you. Thanks
Thank
so much.
You. Take care.
Music from Yateen. That's with a collaboration with Portugal the Man. But Yateen will be one of the performers happening at the Akwak Festival that's coming up next week. So you can look forward to some of that amazing music happening and other great events happening, like right here in Juneau. Of course, one of the most amazing institutions we have here is Hearthside Books. And Katrina Wolford's here from Hearthside Books. And also joining us is author Tella Odson. Thanks so much to both of you for joining me. And Tella, are you hearing us okay?
I hear you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we hear you just fine there on Zoom. And Katrina, let's get a little overview here. You've got lots of stuff going on at Hearthside Books. This is really cool.
There is a lot going on. So Tella will be with us this Sunday, and she's going to present her new book, What Water Holds, which I read in one sitting and thoroughly enjoyed. We'll have a reading and a conversation with her Sunday night at our Merchants Wharf store at 6. We have some other events next week, including our Hearthside Books birthday.
Yes.
We were established in 1975.
Wow.
So we always celebrate in some way, you know, refreshments, sure, prizes, yeah, that sort of thing. And then later in the week on Thursday night at 7 at our Merchants Wharf store, we've got Skylar Bear, who edited a book about, it's called Uncharted, and it's the subtitle is How Scientists Navigate Their Own Health Research and Experience of Bias. So it should be a very interesting conversation that evening as well.
Well, very cool. Well, so good to have you on here, Tella. Thanks so much for joining us via Zoom. So tell us a little bit about the title of your book and then how that relates to what the book is about.
Yeah, thanks. What Water Holds, I guess, is about nuance and that there are a lot of different ways to look at things. What I'm looking at in this collection of essays is an exploration of identity, equity, community, the changing climate, sustainability, all within the framework of my own experience of 4 decades as a female commercial fisherman in Southeast.
When you collected these essays under this kind of general idea, were you trying to be really, really hue into that idea very strictly, or did you just allow them to kind of have a little bit of a tangential relationship to it?
Yeah, in terms of the title definitely came later. A lot of those essays were 10, 8, 6 years before. Uh-huh. And the title appeared to fit them.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about some of the individual essays and maybe just pick a few that delve into them a bit for me.
Yeah, sure. Well, these are all primarily written in response of Oregon's Fisher Poets Gathering. So every February, I would write 2 new essays to share with that audience. And so it was always a question of what had I experienced over the year before that was important to me to reflect on, and what did I think could be meaningful to the audience, where we were at our cultural time in any given year.
Is there an element of commercial fishing in particular that you think brings a specific perspective to those, like, kind of larger questions?
Well, all of my experience is rooted in salmon trolling, which is a deeply internal, slow, reflective, lends itself to that sort of work, which suits my writing also.
Yeah.
It's a slow piece.
Right, right. So you were about to tell us as an example, one of the essays.
Yeah. One example, The Princess and the Sea, was when I was longlining for halibut, and one of my shipmates was a 4-year-old girl. And kind of what that brought up for me in terms of a lot of questions of gender and role and being a child, being a mentor, and all within the context of halibut fishing.
Yeah, right. It's such a nice thing to think about as far as bringing to Juneau. Of course, commercial fishing and just a connection to the ocean is such a vital part of so many people's lives. I think there's going to be a lot of people that really relate to these essays.
I hope so. You know, I'm excited to get to share that time with Juneau. And I hope that this book can be both a mirror and a window, that it can be a mirror for folks who can relate to the stories through their own experiences, and a window for land folks who maybe wouldn't otherwise have that experience.
And you're based out of Sitka typically, is that right?
I am, yeah. I've been fishing out of Sitka since I was 7 years old in 84.
As long as you remember almost, right? I mean, yeah. must be just the oldest memories you have in a way. It must be surrounding fishing.
They're pretty formative. Yeah, they are the most consistent in otherwise a lot of transients.
Yeah. And you've been fishing in Southeast for that long. That was all in Southeast sort of all that time. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I've always been seasonal, but Sitka has always been my home base.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for telling us a little bit about it. And Katrina, tell us a little bit about the details of going to that book signing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So we've rearranged our downtown store at the Merchants Wharf to accommodate evening events, which are sort of smallish gatherings. We can accommodate about 30 people in the audience. And the door will be closed. There will be a sign on to please come in quietly. And at 6 o'clock, we'll start the presentation with Tella and then follow that reading and conversation with both a book signing and some refreshments and some questions.
Yeah, fun. Yeah. And then the birthday?
That's just a drop by either store all day long.
Okay,
sort
great.
Of a celebration.
And that's on Tuesday,
Tuesday. That's on Tuesday, both
and then
stores.
You were saying that you have another book signing coming up as well.
We do. Thursday night, again, at the downtown store at 7 o'clock.
And who's that with?
That will be Skylar Bear.
Oh, okay. That's the Skylar Bear.
Yeah, science book.
Great. So, well, thanks so much for giving us an update about what's happening at Hearthside. This,
yeah,
as
absolutely.
I said before, just an institution in Juneau. And one of the things that's been so great about it is it's been this resource bringing in authors like Tella and, you know, always going that extra mile of making sure that you're connecting with the Juneau audience in a way that only local bookstores can.
Well, you know? Thank you, Andy.
And I'll throw in libraries, too. Libraries are good at that stuff, too. I'll throw both of those in there. Well, Tella, thank you so much for joining us from Sitka, and we'll see you as you come in to Juneau.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks very much.
Okay. And Katrina, thanks again.
Thanks,
appreciate
Andy.
It. Okay. We're going to play a little bit more music here from the Ok Rock Festival. This is Pumia. Pumayo with some more music that you're going to be able to hear next week at the Ok Rock Festival. Getting really excited about that coming up. Another thing that's happening next week, next Saturday, exciting, is a disc golf tournament happening. So the Juneau Disc Golf Club is here. Tara Olson and James Hauker here with us. How are you both doing?
Great.
Doing
thanks
great.
For
thanks.
Us.
Good. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And let's talk about the tournament first of all. Fun tournament happening over at the Treadwell Disc Golf Course, which is cool.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. It's right on the historic site of the Treadwell Mine. So if you've been out there, you'll know that there are some baskets in the area. We've got 9 holes, and it's a great opportunity for all of our beginners, our new players, folks that have played disc golf before, but maybe not for a while. This is the tournament for you.
It's fun how that course has been set up so that if you just walk around, if you're just used to walking around there, you might see a basket or two, but they're really pretty obscure. You don't see them. So it's kind of cool how you have these two, like these user groups that are able to work together. You go around, walk around there. It's fine. You don't even notice that people are playing disc golf. But if you're a disc golfer, you know, you're cued into where the baskets are.
Absolutely. Yeah. The course actually threads through like the central steam plant, the tennis courts, the general warehouse, the company store, and the stamp mill and hydroelectric plant.
That's cool. You get a history lesson while you're playing disc golf.
Exactly. I love it. Yeah. and yeah, so anybody is welcome to come out. We've got divisions for advanced players. We've got divisions for brand new players, novice players. And then we also have kids divisions, too. So anybody under 18 or under 10 is welcome to play. So the whole family can come out and enjoy themselves.
That's cool. Is the course, how would you describe the course as far as like difficulty level or length of holes, that kind of thing?
Sure. It's the easiest you get. Okay. It's called a pitch and putt course. So we're playing with low speed discs and we're going maybe 100 feet.
Mm-hmm. 125 is the longest.
Yeah.
So, Tara, if I don't have any discs, can I still play in that tournament?
This that sounds like a leading question.
This is the place for you. So if you have no discs at all, or if you don't want to bring your discs, please don't. In your player pack, after you register, you're going to get 3 brand new discs to play with. These are from MVP, Axiom, and Streamline brands. They're phenomenal discs, and they are exclusive to this tournament that's played nationwide in different cities, and we're bringing it to Juneau.
That's cool.
You get to try out these discs before they hit the stores.
So tell me about that part of it. This is a nationwide tournament that this is our part of participating in it. What is that nationwide tournament?
Sure. So it's called the MVP Circuit Challenge, and its main goal is to get players out on the courses and
new
to introduce disc golf to the sport. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you pay $35 to register and you get 3 discs right off the bat. So nobody is leaving empty handed. And then we also have some extra prizes for winners in each division.
Yeah. Well, James, you've been the past president.
That's correct.
So you must be seeing a little bit about what's kind of happening as far as the growth of the sport. It's kind of burgeoning. It's wild. It's a really growing sport. Feels like
it's growing explosively, especially here in Juneau. When we started out, there might have been 100 players who played regularly out at Antioch, and we taught over 1,000 kids to play in the school system. We brought in professionals, Zoe Ann Dyke and Dustin
for the Keegan UPlay folks.
From UPlay, yeah, right. Yeah. And then we realized they were plugging that course, so we had to design and build a new course just for them, and it has access to restrooms. It's right on the end of the bus line. It's been absolutely fantastic. It is closest to my house, so I wind up playing it more frequently than the longer course. I mean, you can get 2 rounds in 25 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. Just to back up one little bit, Tara, if I have a favorite set of discs, can I use them in the MVP tournament?
No, go ahead and leave all of your discs at home. The 3 discs that are available in your players pack are actually the discs that you're going to play this tournament with. So it's kind of exciting for new players. You get brand new plastic you can play with. And for folks that have played before, you get to play against some folks you know with the same disc. So
it's
you're all
sort of
learning.
Levels the playing field exactly. A little bit. No one's got some sweet skookum disc in their
right.
bag.
You're yeah, learning right. them together.
Yeah.
Tara, right. if I wanted to show up on the day and sign up, could I?
You can. However, we're really encouraging advanced registration.
Where do I do that?
Everything is on discgolfscene.com. You're going to look for tournaments and you're going to search Juneau, or you can just Google the Juneau MVP Circuit Challenge. We also have a Facebook page, the Juneau Disc Golf Club. And if you are having a hard time finding us, go ahead and email us at junodiscgolfclub@gmail.com. Any of those ways, we will get you registered prior to the event. Like I said, $35. If you show up day of, we're going to have you use a smartphone or whatever we happen to have on hand, laptops, tablets, and we're going to get you registered. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to move to an online system.
And is there, what did you say? Is there kind of a minimum age?
No,
there's no minimum age.
You know what? I had my kids out at the course at 2.
That's kind of what I was going to ask.
As soon as they can walk, put a disc in their hand. Now, they may not last 2 whole rounds. We're going to play 2 rounds of 9 holes. Okay. And so that's about 2.5 miles of walking-ish. So if your kiddo can't last the whole time, but you still want to bring them out, go ahead and bring them out for part of it. We also have a putting clinic at the beginning. We've got one of our coaches that's going to lead us in learning how to throw more accurate and confident putts, which will hopefully improve our scores and also just warm us up for the round. So you can always come early for that. And so I would say kids, you know, of any age, but parents are going to know best if their kids are ready for something like this.
Yeah, right. And then does Juno Disc Golf Club kind of get involved in all the different tournaments that we hear about out at the other course that's out the road and all the ones, or is it sort of more centralized on?
Yeah, we've got a really exciting tournament happening tomorrow. Okay. Out at the Echo Ranch course. However, it's not put on by the Juno Disc Golf Club, but we are certainly, a lot of our members are going and excited about it. They do kind of run their own shop out there.
Yeah,
which is exciting.
It's the only one so far out of the 7 or 8 that we've grown to host each year that we're not in charge of. And it's kind of neat. A lot of our officers and members are going to head out there and see what it's like when someone else takes the reins. It's going to be great. But I want to point out, you know, we talked about 2-year-olds playing. You can play this sport well into your 80s or 90s. It's such a low cardio load. It's a sport that I took up when I was 45 years old. There aren't very many sports you can take up at 45 and expect to get any better than the day you started. But I have not become professional, but I have become proficient, and I can play with anyone. And oftentimes we play this game and it's usually 18 holes, and it's such a low cardio load that it's not uncommon to be on hole 16 and hear somebody say, "Who's up for another round?" And right. Away we go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty neat.
How do the courses in Juneau compare to courses you've played in other areas?
The Antioch course is a top level course that if we get enough sponsorship for next year, we will be holding an A-level tournament, which is one step below all the pros and the cameras showing up. I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibility in the next 5 years, but the Treadwell course, as Tara said, is a pitch and putt, and it is just a ton of fun. I mean, if you've never thrown an ace, which is a hole in one, you can go out to the Treadwell, and odds are if you play it 5 or 6 times, even as a beginner, you're going to ring those chains on your very first throw, and there's no feeling like it in the world.
Yeah.
It'll hook you. It'll circle hook you, as we say here in Alaska.
That's right. And I just was wondering about your perspective on other courses. When I've looked online and you see people, like, for instance, they'll show people throwing holes in one, you know, it always seems like it's very pastoral. They don't have very many trees to get around. It looks a lot more like a traditional golf course than it looks
there
like the courses that we have. Yeah,
certainly a lot of wooded courses down south too.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so many traditional golf courses, ball golf courses, have kind of moved away from ball golf and put in disc golf baskets. And so, yeah, you're doing a lot of very far drives, which for beginner players is not the right kind of course.
Right.
Yeah.
There really is no single recipe for a disc golf course. They have been jammed into the middle of inner city areas and forced nefarious activities out to different spots because there are too many people walking around throwing discs to carry on with the other activities. But I have seen 18 hole courses in places like Albuquerque, New Mexico, on less than 6 acres, where people are throwing discs over the top of people who are playing a different hole down below at a lower level. And it's only up to one's imagination to decide how a disc golf course
it
can
is
go.
It is really true, isn't it? I mean, traditional golf courses have to be very careful because, of course, that golf ball can be very dangerous. And that's not the case with the disc as much. I mean, now you don't want to get hit by a disc, but, you know, there's not going to be a serious incident because of that, I wouldn't think.
That's correct.
But yeah. So it's such a safe sport, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There are only maybe 3 people in the world who can throw a disc over 100 miles an hour. And most of us can't touch 60. So,
yeah.
Or much slower.
They slow down a lot when you get 50 and 60 feet out.
Yeah, right.
I do know people who have been hit, and the worst case I've heard of are a few stitches.
So, yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Yeah. All right. There's something there. Yeah.
And when we're playing next weekend, we're playing with low speed discs, which means they are rounded at the edge. Your drivers, the discs that are meant to go hundreds of feet, are very kind of tapered and pointed at the edges to cut through the air. And so we're not playing with those discs next weekend. So we don't need to worry about people getting seriously injured, at least not with the discs. So we'll all be very careful out there. We've got nice rounded discs for you to play with.
It's fun. Well, let's go over the just one more time. Let's just go over the details for folks who are maybe just joining the conversation. It's the Juno Disc Golf Club upcoming tournament. It's happening Saturday. So what? How can people find out about it and how do they sign up?
Next Saturday, September 23rd, we're going to be starting out at around 12 with registration, but you can show up anytime thereafter. We've got our putting clinic happening at 12:20. And then we've got our players meeting, which is when we'll talk about all the rules and safety notes at 1:15. And by 1:45, we're going to be starting two rounds of nine holes. We'll finish up by 4:30 with prizes and some games at the end. And then yeah. And so registration is at discgolfscene.com, or you can Google the Juno MVP Circuit Challenge. You can find us on Facebook, Juno Disc Golf Club, and or Instagram. And registration is just $35, and you'll get three discs to play with. And that's a screaming deal.
And like you say, it might be the start of a lifelong activity for some kids that come, or for people who just have never tried it before.
That's what we're hoping.
I love playing it. It's super fun. I'm at an incredibly low level, but I love playing it. I used to play Ultimate Frisbee, so I'm used to those big Frisbees.
Oh, yeah.
So
those
I can't get around those little discs. I just can't figure it out. I'm too, but I love playing.
Yeah,
super
come
fun.
Early and you'll learn how to throw.
Yes, I know.
We've got phenomenal coaches.
Yeah, we do ask that you park in the lower parking lot at Civico Park and not up near St. Anne's.
Okay, good point. We'll be meeting at the Sandy Beach parking area there. So right by the pavilions, the playground, the volleyball nets, that's where we'll be to start off. And then we'll walk in together to the disc golf course.
It's the Juno Disc Golf Club upcoming disc golf tournament. It's happening Saturday, September 23rd. It's at the Treadwell Disc Golf Course. It's happening from 1 to 4. And thanks to you, Tara and James, for coming in and telling us all about it.
Thank you so much.
Sounds like a great time. Listening to music from Viz Vignette, and that's a band out of Finland whose lead singer just happens to be traveling through Juno, and I got to meet and I said, come on in and let's talk about music from Finland. So Anina Lotvinen, which is how it looks on the page to me, but how would you say your name so that people...
Anniina Lotvonen.
Okay, very well. Yeah. Kind of.
And close enough.
Close enough. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that. I appreciate you saying that. Well, tell me about where, what town in Finland are you based out of and is your band based out of?
We started in Jyväskylä, but I think none of us anymore live there. Okay. So we're kind of scattered around Finland.
And is that kind of southern part of Finland, northern, or what's it? Is there a regional?
In the middle of Finland.
Middle of Finland.
Yeah.
And I'm just so fascinated with the idea of how different countries, different regions have sort of different scenes. Maybe it's similar, you know, where you're gigging, you're finding clubs and all that stuff. And then you try to get together an album, try to get studio time, all that stuff. Is that all stuff that you guys have gone through?
Yeah, the bass idea is pretty much the same, I would say. Anyway.
So this, what we were just hearing, that's a studio album. When did you guys record that? And
That's our debut album called Among and Around. We recorded it last year's summer in a studio in 3 days, which I would not recommend.
But that's just because the studio cost, right? I'm guessing.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, so you just pack it in. You just got to do it. Did you work with, did the studio provide engineers and that sort of thing, or did you guys self-produce?
We did self-produce. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all come from like music background, so everyone knows people. And
yeah, I was going to ask, what is your background as far as music goes?
Mostly self-taught, but I did study a couple of years. But it wasn't for me. So,
and a guitar or a piano or
singing mostly. I do play guitar too. Mm-hmm. But
I've seen on some videos of you playing guitar.
Sure,
you got cool stuff on YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's fun to see that. And tell me about those videos. It looked like they were recorded in clubs.
Yeah, they were from some gig that we did.
Yeah, just one of the many gigs. Do you guys, I mean, you know, what happens in America, right, is that like if the people I've known have gotten bands, like they get a van, they start driving, they start hitting, you know, they'll get a manager that can help string together dates, that kind of stuff. Is that, what's the...
We're still wishing for a van. We have one person in our band has a car and we just shove everything in there when need be. So we're in that stage still.
Just living that life, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. You guys, now you sing in English.
Yes.
Now, are there contemporary Finnish bands that sing in Finnish or sing in another language or tell me about the decision there. Why English versus some other?
I just started writing in English when I was like 16. Mm-hmm. It rhymes better than Finnish is kind of monotone language, so it's kind of what you prefer, and I prefer English.
Interesting.
Also, of course, we want to we want our music to be around the world, not just
there's
even
a commercial so. Kind of little yeah, bit of a yeah. drive to say
definitely
it could play in a lot more countries if it's
yes
yeah but it's interesting that you say that English just as it is as a language is maybe more lyrical, a little bit more
for sure,
yeah, but musical and harmonic and melodic in the way it's spoken.
Yeah,
I don't know if many people think of English that way, but it's interesting to hear someone who is native speaking another language who also has a great command of English and making that decision.
It's a lot easier to sing. And a lot of people in Finland say that.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then, so what is there a, this is your debut album.
Yeah.
Do you guys, are you thinking about a tour? Or are you thinking about ways of promoting the fact that you have this debut album? Or is that something that's under consideration?
We've done some gigs and actually we're currently writing our second album. So maybe at some point next year. Couple singles in between. We're kind of in an in-between stage there.
Well, let's listen to another song. What should I play off of? This is your debut album. I've got Spotify up here. Again, it's Vies Vignette, and that's V-I-E-S, and then Vignette, V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E. And that's available on Spotify. So anyone who's listening and wants to check out more of this music can just search for that and check it out. But is there a track that you think is good? I was looking at maybe Young Dreamer.
Yeah, I was actually thinking that too.
Young Dreamer. Okay. Yeah. I like the title. And let's hear from a little bit more of Vies Vignette, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more to Anniina about this.
Mm-hmm. thoughts recycle lines. So I asked to see a sign, and now I wait and sit around. It's been an hour. It's been an hour.
Young Dreamer, Vise Vignette, we're listening to from Finland, and Anina, who's the lead singer you were just hearing, is with us in the studio. And that's a cool song. What's sort of your, what was the idea behind, did you write the lyrics?
I did. I write all the lyrics.
You write all the lyrics? Yes. And then, so what's sort of your, what were you thinking about there, just in general, I guess? I hate to ask that of people. I mean, I know it's not literal, everything, but you know, is there an idea you were trying to get across with that?
It's something that probably a lot of artists face, that I was working as a bartender, and it can get kind of dull when you want to be an artist instead. So, I mean, kind of just being bored in the scene you're in.
And then I like that line. Did I get that line right? I'm not a fool. I'm a young dreamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's really, that's how, I think that's a really cool thing to say. You know, I'm not an idiot. I'm not a fool. I just have dreams.
Music is not a real job, they say.
So yeah, right.
I don't agree with that.
You know, your band is really interesting. We were just talking about it while we were listening to the music, because it incorporates horns. Does that just, is it just one saxophone player? Or
yes.
Okay. That to me is a big step for a band to take, right? We're gonna be a horn band. Like, we're gonna bring horns in.
Yeah.
What was the kind of, how did that happen, and what was the thought process there?
Well, we have always liked horns in the music with my writer partner in the band. And I mean, it's a spice. Not all the bands, especially more rock bands, have a saxophone. So
yeah,
it's something that makes it more interesting, I guess.
It's fun how you use it in a way. You use it in a way that's a little bit different than maybe traditional rock and roll. It's not for like solos and flourishes and stuff. It's more aural. There's a background thing happening, and there's like sort of off key things almost, it seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your idea there? Just to kind of.
Actually, Tomi Raikaslehto composes a lot of the, or does all the instrumentation. Of course, each player also adds their own thing to it. So you would probably have to ask him.
Well, so that's interesting. So do you write the lyrics first and then bring it to the rest of your band, and then they add music, or how does that go?
I'm a co-composer, so it's either me or him who does the composition, and I do all the melodies and lyrics, and he does the instruments, and then we play it live, and it can change.
So you work it out yourself. You have lyrics, and you come up with a melody. You come up with like kind of the bones of a song.
Sometimes it can vary.
Uh-huh.
It's a different process every time.
is your band one in which every band member is like has their own agency and can do whatever they or bring whatever they want, or are you and your co-writer kind of the, you know, the lords over the band that?
we are the bass. I mean, we make the songs, and then of course when you play them live, so everyone adds their own thought to it, but the bass is done by
But it evolves a little bit. The sound can evolve some. The sound can get added to by players. Yeah. How long have you all been playing together as a band?
About a year and a half now.
Okay.
Almost 2 years.
And did you have other iterations of bands before that you were playing in?
No, actually with this band, we started as a duo, but.
I see. And have added all these different elements. It's now five piece. Is that right? five players?
Six players.
Six.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Hey, wow. And that's another thing that's also, I was going to say, as a band starting out, it's hard to have a lot of members of a band, right?
Yeah, because it's bold.
Because the gigs, you know, you got to, you know, we're going to get $200 for this gig. Okay, well, that gets split six ways instead of getting split three ways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it's all hard when you're starting, you know?
Yeah.
Does it feel like there's some momentum happening with the following, that kind of thing, with the music you've put out?
I'd say slowly but surely. Mm-hmm. It's very different from the mainstream, so it definitely takes some time to gain following, but hopefully one day.
Do you have influences? I'm sure you, I mean, I know every musician has influences, but what are some of the ones that you think of when someone asks you, oh, what has influenced the way you write or the way you play or sing?
I like a lot of different music, jazz, soul, psychedelic rock, progressive rock, all that kind of adding up to it.
Yeah. Is there like specific, you know, did you go through a Pink Floyd phase? Did you go through a, you know, name a band phase?
The Doors.
The Doors. A strong one, yeah. Okay. Wow. That actually makes a lot of sense listening to the music that we just listened to. I can see that. A little Ray Manzarek in there and a little Robbie Krieger and all that. Yeah, that's cool. Well, it's so great to meet you, and it's so fun to hear about this, you know, experience of being a musician in a completely different area, that there's so many similarities, but there's a lot of differences too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about it. Again, it's Vies Vignette. It's V-I-E-S Vignette, V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E. It's on Spotify. They also have a Facebook page you can look up, and SoundCloud and all that kind of stuff. But if you just search for that, you'll be hearing the music that's coming from the latest, coolest stuff that's coming out of Finland. Thanks so much. We'll hear a little bit more here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, yeah. And that'll do it for Juno Afternoon, broadcast live right here on KTOO 104.3 FM, online at KTOO.org, and rebroadcast at 7 o'clock every night. Thanks for joining us, folks.